For a long time, we lived between two fires as a Christian, the fire of some militants in Gaza who's not very happy about who we are and what we do, but also the fire of the occupation because we are also in the same boat. When there's unfairness for a long time and there's things unsolved for a long time, unfortunately, this is what will happen. And we continue to pray God will raise peacemakers in both sides to see an end of this very difficult conflict.
This is the Inside Scoop Jerusalem with your host, Nicole Johnson-Zion. You know, as I'm sitting here in Jerusalem, one word and principle that has really come to my mind lately is understanding. Now, I realize that my understanding of any situation is limited to my geographic location, to the people that I know, to the news that I'm exposed to. And so I felt it was really important to broaden my understanding and to understand better the situation that other people will find themselves in. So I report from within Israel. And I'm not really exposed to or privy to actually what's happening in Gaza. I can only know what I hear in the news or read on social media. And then, of course, there's different opinions about whether that's true and how to process this information. So I reached out to somebody that I've known for several years. His name is Hana Massad. Hana Massad is the pastor of the Gaza Baptist Church. He now lives in the United States, but he travels to Gaza several times a year, and he still has contacts and relationships with people who live there. I've been reading his reports from Gaza, from personal testimonies and witnesses, people who are there currently on the ground, and I thought it would be really enlightening to get his perspective of the situation. Now, I believe something that is really important is that it behooves us to listen more so than to agree. It behooves us to get understanding of a situation and to hear another side and another perspective of what's going on. And that will help us broaden our understanding. So I wanted to hear what he had to say. Now, mind you, speaking about the situation there is extremely sensitive. And so I really appreciate the fact that he agreed to talk to me and to talk about the situation and to help us to give us insight into what's happening there. That is not something I take for granted. Now, because of these sensitivities, I didn't set out to challenge points or to force condemnations of this or that. So you will just hear a conversation about what Hana Massad knows is happening over there from his relatives and his congregants and his friends there. I am so grateful that you agreed to this interview because I understand the sensitivities of the situation, and I really, really appreciate that you know you would take the time to be here and also to share and to help us gain more understanding of what's happening in actually in your hometown.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be with you and pray this will be a blessing for people who's listening.
Yeah, I agree. Amen. Well, I just first of all, can you tell us about yourself, about where you grew up? I think you grew up in Gaza, right?
Yeah, I born grew up in Gaza. My parents belong to the Greek Orthodox Church. But I got to know the Lord in personal way through the only evangelical church in the whole Gaza Strip, Gaza Baptist. And also I had the privilege to pastor that church where I got saved. I did that from 87 to 91, and then went to Bethlehem Bible College, and 91 went to Southern California, Fuller Seminary, and in 1999 returned back to the same church, and I joined the faculty of Bethlehem Bible College, and also pastored the church until 07. And but I continue to go to Gaza 3 times a year because Gaza is still in my heart, in spite of all the challenges. And it's been a blessing to continue to serve and to reflect God's love in Gaza, which is a very difficult place.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you left? You mentioned 2007.
2007, our life became in danger because some militants wasn't very happy about who we are and what we do, and they about explosion in one of the places of the ministry, and so we evacuated, went to the West Bank, and then end up in Jordan, and where I pastored also Iraqi Christian congregation in Jordan. And by the way, I still continue when I go to Gaza, go to Jordan as well to minister to Iraqi Christian refugees in Jordan.
Okay, now you mentioned being born into a Greek Orthodox family, and that now there's also evangelicals. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the population of Gaza? Like, how many people, how many are Christian, and the denominations and stuff like that?
Yeah, Gaza, it's, as you know, it's a very small piece of land. It's about 30 miles long, 7 miles wide. It's considered one of the most populated area in the world. There's 2.3 million Muslims live in Gaza. The Christian community is less than 1,000. There are three churches in Gaza: Greek Orthodox, which consider one of the oldest churches in the world, and there is a Latin church, kind of a Catholic. And Gaza Baptist is the only evangelical church, which started in 1954, which I had the privilege to pastor for more than 12 years.
Okay, so now you're in the US, right?
Yes.
Okay, but you are in contact with people that are still in Gaza on a daily basis. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
I still have relatives, yeah, almost on daily basis. And also every Sunday, actually, we have live Zoom with the church in Gaza, especially before the war. But now, because there's no electricity, they're not able to connect. But we have also Gazians from around the world who care about the church and the Christian community in Gaza. So we meet every Sunday from 9:30 Eastern time to 11 o'clock, as we continue to pray for peace and for the people in Gaza, but really for the whole region, because the Lord put love in our hearts, not only for our people. But when you have encounter with the Lord, you have love for everyone. So God put love and forgiveness in our hearts also for the Jewish people. And we continue to pray God will raise peacemakers in both sides to see an end of this very difficult conflict.
I thought that was a difficult prayer before, and it seems an even tougher one now, actually, like to raise up peacemakers after something like this. And I want to talk about the current situation, but everybody should go get your book as well, and because I think you really give a good understanding of what it was like to grow up. So I just want to go. You explained growing up in Gaza, how just the difficulties, the lack of movement, or the controlled movement in and out until at some point there was no not as much ability to get out of Gaza, and just the situation growing up under I don't think it's probably especially for an American, I couldn't not relate to that. I can't understand that. And I don't know if there's a way you could explain to us or that how you tell Americans and other Westerners that don't have that same challenge, like to explain a little bit about the difficulty growing up in a place where you can't move about freely, or you can't get out freely and travel.
Yeah, Gaza really. People ask me what it's like to live and minister in Gaza, and usually my respond, I never been in prison, but I lived in one when I was in Gaza, because really, to be honest with you, it's a huge prison. How it's like to minister in Gaza, basically, for a long time we lived between two fires. As a Christian, the fire of some militants in Gaza who's not very happy about who we are and what we do, but also the fire of the occupation, because we are also in the same boat. And as evangelicals, sometimes the traditional church also is not very happy about who you are, what you do. So really the big question, how you live your faith in daily basis in this kind of circumstances, how you keep the love, the peace, and the respect. How are you able to continue to carry the presence of God and to reflect His love in this very difficult situation? Even though it's a very challenging situation, but it's really, this is where we're able to grow the most by the grace of God, when you are in the midst of fire. God continue to shape you and to make you the people He wants you to be in this difficult situation.
You guys are a minority of minorities of minorities. I mean, being like, among over 2 million Muslims, and then most of the Christians are Orthodox, and then there's a couple evangelicals of Baptist Church. You really have to know your faith and why you're walking in it. I'm amazed at the challenges that you must face. The fact that you can say later that that you have a heart for all people after being under occupation, being in in an open air prison, and all the challenges that you face is really amazing. How do you get to that point?
We're really not able to live our faith with our own strength. I mean, how are you able to live the Sermon on the Mount? We cannot. We didn't have the strength in us, so we need really the grace of God. And again, when you have this encounter with the Lord by His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, and when you experience His love, you start to love everyone. And when you experience His forgiveness, you also start to have the power by the grace of God to forgive each other. And of course, Jesus always, it's our ultimate example, even in the most difficult time when he was hanging on a piece of wood between heaven and earth, where he said, Father, forgive them because they didn't know what they do. So Jesus is our ultimate example, and this is what we want to follow. And he never took a life of a person, but he gave his life for humanity. And this is the honor and the privilege the Lord gave all of us as his followers to continue to carry his presence and to reflect his love, even in one of the most difficult places you live under.
Well, now I want to turn to the current situation. We're hearing that there's a possibility of officially declaring famine in about a month, just a month. And I know, from one of the reasons I reached out to you now, especially is the testimonies and the reports that you're putting in your mails from your congregants and people that who are going through a lot of things. There is hunger, right? And there's destruction. I would, if you would just tell us a little bit about what you're hearing from people that are there.
Yeah, I mean, people, they really didn't have enough food to continue to survive. For example, people in the churches, they didn't have meals. They have a meal from time to time, and they have bread from time to time, and canned food, and things become also very expensive. Even, they told me one single egg, it's almost 10 shekel, just one single egg.
Gosh.
But God helping us by His grace, be able to provide hot meals from time to time, and we're really very grateful for that. And it's not easy. For example, last time, a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, they able to buy four sheep, and they slaughtered them, two sheep for each church. One, the Catholic Church have about 500 people living evacuated in that church, and the other church is about 350. So they able to find some food here and there. It's not easy to find it, but it's very expensive. But you know, again, we're very grateful to provide winter clothes and the grocery, and helping in, you know, really in different ways to the Christian community who's going through tough times.
Yeah, what can you tell us about the church, the situation of the church right now?
Well, it's you know, I mean, it's very difficult. It's a blessing for the Christian community able to evacuate in these churches, but even they went to these churches because they thought it would be safe. But unfortunately, in the Greek Orthodox Church, in the beginning of the war, one of the building in the church compound been affected by bombing by the IDF, and the ceiling of one of the building collapsed, and 18 Christian been killed. You know, one of them was my aunt, and also another two ladies in the church compound in the Latin church, as you know, been unfortunately killed by a Jewish sniper, and even the Gaza Baptist Church become military base for the IDF, and there's a lot of damage in that, you know, five floors building where we worship at Gaza Baptist Church. So there's no really safe place in Gaza, even not in the churches, unfortunately.
And what about your family? That do you still have family there? You said your aunt passed, your aunt was killed. I'm really sorry to hear that. Do you have
Thank you.
other family?
Yeah, I have cousins, relatives, you know, extended family in Gaza. But even our own home, my parents, somewhere I grew up, two floors building with a piece of land, and it took my father 10 years to build it, and you know, completely demolished, and it's just leveled. It just become a piece of land, and
Oh
it's
my
a lot of
gosh.
memories, you know, a lot of emotions, but again, we're not able to comprehend and really understand what's happening, what's going on. But we trust God. He see it all and He know it all. And even though we're not able to understand right now, but we continue to trust in a good God, even in the darkest hour of our life. Yeah.
Wow, that's really heavy. Your home, the ha family house, was anybody killed when it was destroyed, when it was
No,
bombed?
it was empty. I used to use the house even when I go visit Gaza, but for a while I wasn't able to, so it's closed for a while. But you know, it's been really difficult for our neighborhood as well. One of my neighbor in the same street, he told me, Hannah, we you know, eating food of the animals because there's not much food available. So again, we never went through something like this, and this is the difficult part, the collective punishment which come on everybody. I never have a problem with Israel in any way or another, but in the same time, we see the collective punishment affecting so many people, as you know, many civilians, many children, and it's very tragic to say the least. So we hope this will end soon, because it's not really good for anybody, either side.
Do you know about the medical situation? Are people getting treatment at hospitals? Is there enough medicine? Are what about rescue efforts? Like if buildings that are bombed, do you know anything about that?
It's very sad. I mean, the story is it's so depressing. Ilham, she's in her 80s. She played the piano for Gaza Baptist for so many years. One day she evacuated in the church in Gaza, but one day she left to go to check in her apartment to see if her apartment still is standing. So when she got close to her apartment, just one street or two streets away, she hit by a sniper and in her leg. And some people from the Christian community talked to her, tried to help her to stop the bleeding. But nobody was able to help her. Even the ambulance wasn't able to reach out. Even the neighbors, they knew her because she shot in her neighborhood. So they saw her, but they're not able to open the door to pull her inside because their life will be in danger. So unfortunately, she left the bleeding until she died. And she stayed in the streets, her body for days until they have ceasefire. And then when they have ceasefire, they went to try to identify the body. They're not able to identify the body. The only way able to identify the body by the bag she was carrying. And so immediately they took her directly to the tomb because the body start to decay and her body even is not looking, if you understand, but because she was in the streets. And so it's a very sad situation, and people go through that, and yeah, it's very sad.
Also going back to the church, you said that the church is became an army. Is it still occupied by the army?
No, they left, but they used as military base for looks like maybe a few weeks, and there's, as I said, a lot of damage because the 5-floor building up on a hill, and the first 2 floor have the only Christian public library in the whole Gaza Strip for many years, and we worship in the top floor, and it's just very sad to see that image or the images of the church been dedicated for the ministry. Back in 2005, and Brother Andrew, who was the founder for Open Doors, came for that dedication, and God really blessed us to be able to build that church, and it was a miracle by itself because for the first time ever, Gaza Baptists have their own building outside of the Baptist Hospital. So, yeah, but thank God the building is still standing, even though a lot of damage. And by the grace of God, we will rebuild. I mean, we will fix it. And may God help us to continue to reflect His love through that building and through the Church of Gaza Baptist.
What's the future for the Christians? As it was, there were only 1,000, and now it sounds like many have been killed. So what is even the future for Christians in Gaza?
As I understood, there's hundreds of Christian already have visas to Australia, and I think there's many want to go at least to try. So as soon as the borders start to open up, there's some already left, but there's many more want to go. So it's hard really to know. Of course, I think the number of the Christian community will shrink, but. Well, we'll see. There will be big change. Gaza's never the same. Many homes in Gaza City been demolished completely, or partially. 70% of the homes been damaged. So many people, even in the Christian community, didn't really have a place, didn't have homes to go back to after the war is over. So that's a big challenge, and life is never the same. And again, when we talk about collective punishment, I mean, why we have all this what you call it, burning areas or blocks, and a lot of damage. It's unbelievable. It's very sad. Usually I said, if you keep thinking about what's going on, either you become crazy or you become depressed, or it's really just the grace of God. It's sustaining us and helping us continue to be able to focus. If it wasn't His grace, I'm not sure where we will be, but
You grew up there, so come this, we know, like, throughout history there have been always fights, wars, even small ones and big ones. How do you compare this to anything you've seen in your lifetime?
It's never been like this ever. We never even dream such a nightmare. But I think this is what's happened when you leave problems unsolved for a long, long time. And this violence, unfortunately, will continue unless we not deal with the root of this conflict, with occupation. Because we continue just dealing with the symptoms of the problem. When a Jew kill a Palestinian or a Palestinian kill a Jew. So unless we deal with the root of this conflict, have security for Israel 100% in their own country, but also have a home for the Palestinian to live side by side, hopefully in harmony and respect. Again, when there's unfairness for a long time and there's things unsolved for a long time, unfortunately, this is what will happen when we leave things unsolved and just keep watching. Both sides really need to find the common ground to meet that, and also the international community really have to play a big role to bring the two parties together. As otherwise, we will continue in the same circle, and this is not good for either side, for our children or grandchildren in both sides.
Oh, definitely.
Violence will never solve this conflict, and we see, thousands and thousands of children and women in Gaza been unfortunately been killed, and it's a very sad situation unless we really see children in both sides are precious in the sight of God, because all of us made in from one blood and all of us created in the image of God. So this is why we say, as we look at each other, we see God in each other, because all of us as a human being created in the image of God. So we hope and pray will be an end for this, because really it's not worth it.
No, you're right. Also, as much as you said, like, this is something we've never seen before, I feel like also in my years as a journalist in the region, I've never seen anything like this before in terms of the also the polarizing the sides, like either one side or the other side, and people don't have the ability to even listen or understand or see the pain in others. And I don't know if you also see that in the in this case.
Yeah, I see people go too far in one side or to the other side, but it's really to have a balanced perspective, able to show the other side of the coin, because usually people focus on one side, but it's important to see the other side of the coin. I mean, for us, for my father's side of the story, in 1948, we lost a lot of land in Israel, and we have documents to approve it, but we're not able to do anything about it. But even now, our home, which took my father 10 years to build, completely destroyed. I try to remind myself, Do I allow unforgiveness and bitterness to rule in my life, and then I lose God plan or God call in my life? Or in spite of the pain and the suffering, Lord, I'm not able to do it. Help me to love and help me to live by the barrier of forgiveness, because this is the best option and this is the better option for all of us. Father Shakur said something like this: stand with the oppressed without demonizing the oppressor. None of us is perfect. We hurt each other. As Palestinian, we hurt the Jewish people, and the Jewish people hurt us. And we've been suffering as Palestinian, as you know, under occupation for a long time. A lot of humiliation, a lot of difficulty, a lot of pain, and a lot of suffering. And really, there have to be an end for this. If we as a Palestinian consider a human being as the rest of the world, then that's mean we have a freedom to live freely as the rest of the world. No one want to be under occupation, or no one want to his life to be controlled by another human being. And basically, I think most of the Palestinian Muslims and the Christian, I think they will agree if there is a two-state solution with the border 1967, to live side by side with Israel, with respect and with harmony. So yeah, we need a balanced perspective, and we need to listen to one another and to hear the story from the other side, because usually we just have one perspective, the way we see it, the way our own people tell us, or the media. But it's important to listen to the fear and the struggle of the other side in order to find a common ground, balance one, which is good for both of us.
I just feel like there's no balance anymore in terms of like a looking at the situation and looking at people and seeing what people are going through. And I just see, in the debates, in the media and on social media, which is, sometimes even worse than in the media. But it just seems people aren't, they don't hear your pain. Or and they don't hear her pain or his pain. It's just they hear what they want to hear. And I don't remember the world when we couldn't listen to other people and understand what they were going through. And I think it's crucial to understand what people are going through right now in this situation, no matter where they're sitting. We need to hear what they're going through. And I appreciated your emails that you've been sending, updating about the situation to hear. I can't go, I can't see for myself, but to understand what the people in Gaza are going through right now, I think is very important. And so that's why I appreciate your reports and anything that that what you're telling us now is very important to me.
Well, it's really important to listen one to one another, and to hear one another, and we can learn, because it's not only my perspective, but also the perspective of others, to hear their fear and their struggles, and what they're going through. And I think to find the common ground. None of us is perfect, but again, we're able to find the common ground to meet, and to do what is best for both of us. But also at the same time, I try to remind myself, if I go with this option, which is unforgiveness and bitterness, then I remind myself what the consequences. Basically, I will destroy myself before I'm destroying anybody else. And also to remind myself, the way we've been designed, the way we've been created, body, soul, and spirit, the way God made us, He knows what is best for us, what is work for us, and this is why He warned us about unforgiveness and bitterness that will destroy us. So there is a better way, and I think there is a better way for both, for the Palestinian and for the Jewish people, and to try as much as we can, To be fair, and to be just, of course, in this world there will never be absolute justice, but we try to do what we can, which is best for both of us. And I think that's it's a better option for us and also for our children and grandchildren.
Well, it's so hard to see a solution. I mean, obviously the politicians have tried, they've come up with things and nobody agrees on anything. And now, even more so, talking about rebuilding, the thing, the Israeli media and the Americans talk about the day after, like, what is the day after? And it's just it's very complex politically. Which countries, which parties, are involved. And I just wonder, like, what is the solution for the people? What are the people going to do? What do the people do? Because everybody's talking about political solution, but what about where you're going to live in a few months, or where you're going to cook a meal, or where you're going to be able to buy food? There's so many just regular day-to-day concerns. For people from now, even now, but for the day after as well. So it's very, very complex. There's a lot. I mean, what do you see? First of all, how can people support or pray into the situation? What can people do who are listening and saying, like, wow, I wish I could help, or what do people in Gaza who are sitting right there in Gaza, what do they need?
Well, let me just say, I never forget my father keeps saying when he was alive that he wished to see peace coming to the land between Israel and the Palestinian, but he died without seeing that. Now, I hope my children will see it. I don't know if they will see it or not. But, again, there's no really be real peace without the Prince of Peace, as you know. But I think the Palestinian people are resilient. We heard the story from our parents, what they went through in 1948, and also what they went through in 1967. So this is why I think people have determination to stay. And to be honest with you, Nicole, I mean, what is the point with all this huge destruction in Gaza when it's more than 70%? Of the homes in Gaza destroyed. What is the point? I mean, what does Israel really have in mind to destroy all these buildings? And now people didn't have a place to go back to. But I think people willing to have temporary housing and also even tents to stay until they're able to rebuild. Because people, many of them, they're not really going to leave Gaza. They're going to stay. And they try to do what they can. And there are several wars since 2008, but again, never something like this before. And it just, I don't know, there's really no words to explain what's going on. But I think people are still, even though there are some people already planning to leave, but there's many not able to leave, and they're going to stay because they, this is where they grew up, and this is where there's home for them, and people want to abide to stay where they are.
I don't want to yeah, I understand the situation is sensitive. Of course, I can imagine how Israel would respond, to why they're taking down these buildings here or there. And of course, you see they're back in the north again, where they had left. So, instead of, like, I don't want to go back and forth and explain. I think the or challenge or question or whatever, and just let it, the situation for the people is that they have no house. no matter why, it's done. It was done. Now they have no house, and so that's, there's a lot of people who are homeless, displaced. They say 1 million moved south to Rafah, and so there's people that moved from the north to the south. Now they're being told to move from the south again, and it's very hard to move 1 million people. And the situation is it doesn't look like there's a solution anytime soon at the moment. So it looks like it's gonna go on for a long time.
Well,
So
it is very sad, I mean,
yeah.
moving people, especially if you have children, if you have disabled people, I mean,
Right.
could you, I mean, could the Jewish people imagine, God forbid, if they are in the same boat, if this is what happened to the Jewish people, moving back and forth, and it just all these civilians. I mean, what's happened in October 7, of course, as a Christian, we not condone this in any way, but in the same time, as occupation, it's been there for a long, long time. And again, we will continue in this, as I said before, in this circle, unless we deal with the root of this conflict. And I think it's about time to be just and to be fair and try to find the solution, which is be good and a blessing for both sides. So.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to hear that as well, and so I hope that people have understanding and be able to hear and to understand more of where people, others are coming from. And so I think that's very important. Well, moving forward, I'm not going to ask what I mean, if you want to answer, what is the solution?
Well, it just, as I said, security for Israel 100%. And I think this is possible, but also home for the Palestinian. Again, it's been a long time. We experienced a lot of humiliation. For me personally, as I go from one checkpoint to another, or using this airport or that airport, and it just people treat you not for who you are. They treat you for what you carry. And carrying the Palestinian passport for many years and the humiliation, it should end. And even though now I have dual citizenship, which I'm grateful, US and also Palestinian. Hope two-state solution to live side by side. Hopefully with harmony and just to be blessing for each other. And I think it's possible because from my own experience, the majority of the Palestinian, I think they will agree with two-state solution. They didn't want all the land. They want to live side by side with Israel.
Well, a lot of healing has take place on both for both people. And I hear what you're saying. The checkpoints, the passport, the control, that's yeah, I understand. So I think people should definitely get your book, Pastor from Gaza, right? That's the name of the book. Okay.
Thank you.
I have it on Kindle, so I don't have it in my hand. But I think describe very well the situation, and it's good to be able to put yourself to be able to picture, as you're reading the book, to picture how you grew up and what you went through. So I recommend that people would check it out. I got it on Amazon. I don't know if there's anywhere else, But
Amazon is good. And also, I like if it's okay to encourage people to Google Christian Mission to Gaza, because we try by the grace of God to be the feet and the hands of Jesus as this difficult time to help not only in the Christian community, but also the wider community with food and also other aids. So if you Google Christian Mission to Gaza and you see what we do, and appreciate your prayers and you're standing with us.
For sure. I mean, that's how I'm staying in touch and understanding what's going on. So, and that's why I reached out to you was because I get your emails and I'm seeing something and hearing something different that I'm not getting in the media. So I think that's really important and I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure. Everybody check out Christian Mission to Gaza. And I'll put a link. When I post this, I will put a link in the notes so people can go there and sign up to get your newsletter.
That's great. Yeah, cm2g.org. cm2g.org.
Awesome. Okay. Well, this has been really enlightening, and I hope it broadens our knowledge and understanding of what's going on. And if there's anything you would like to add, if there's any way we can pray for you and for your people who are there, for your church and for obviously all people that are there, but let us know what we can do to support you.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Appreciate the opportunity and thank you for your openness, even though it's a difficult conversation because the situation is really difficult and painful for all of us. But we continue to trust the Lord will be an end and to see peace coming to our region.
Just so much to unpack here. There was so many statements that I would want to go back to and to unpack and talk about. But I think the most important thing is that there would be peacemakers raised up on both sides. I will have all of the links that you need to follow Hanna Masad. His organization and link also to his book. That will be in the show notes, so please check that out. And until next time, this is the Inside Scoop, Jerusalem.